No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Jesus Christ was educated by his Father.
Really? Jesus Christ was educated by his Father. So, when the Lord Jesus Christ there, 12 years old in the temple, the Lord Jesus Christ there when he is confounding the scribes and the Pharisees, he had to go to school to get that. He's not exercising the attributes of deity.
You go back over to Luke chapter 2. You know, we've been studying Luke on Wednesday night, Luke is just such a wonderful book about the Lord Jesus Christ and his person and who he is as the man Christ Jesus.
Now, you really need to be heads up here, because what you are about to hear is one of the, I'm going to say, five stupidest, most ignorant things I've ever heard anybody ever preach in my entire life. And see if you catch it. I'm certain that you will.
Luke chapter 2, verse 40, talking about him as a child and as a youth, it says, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was with him. Where do you get wisdom? You get it out of God's Word. You get wisdom from God. This wise plan that the Lord Jesus Christ, from just a youth, is being educated by the Father through the Word of God. Mary, Joseph, teaching him the Scripture. Verse 52, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. He's growing in an understanding of God's Word and of His plan and purpose in it. You come over to chapter 3 of Luke, verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, and the heaven was open, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Now you can read over that and miss that. If you compare that with the account in Matthew 3, the heavens open, and the voice from the Father said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Matthew presenting him as the King, you hear the announcement of heaven to the world and to Israel, This is my Son. But in Luke, looking at him and who he is, notice it doesn't say, This is my Son. In Luke, the Father isn't addressing the crowds, he's addressing his Son. And he says, Thou art. You see that? You see how different that is than in Matthew? One, it's, here he is. See him, everybody. In Luke, he puts his arm around him and says, You're my son. God, the Father, is personally educating the Lord Jesus Christ as to his identity, as to who he is.
Of course that is blasphemous. Of course that is heresy. And it's just beyond the pale for stupid. Now, there are times when I kid people and tell them, you know, I don't take ignorant pills. It comes as a liquid now. However, do we not know that Jesus, well before he's baptized at age 30. Well before he's baptized, he's in the temple at age 12, 18 years previous. And Jesus there, did he not know whose business he was about? He was about his Father's business, and it wasn't about carpentry. It was about the Godhead. And so, in order to teach something that isn't so, this business of Christ putting aside the independent exercise of all of his deity attributes, now Pastor Jordan has really gone to Wackyville. And this is something that, if this were taught by Finis Jennings Dake, or if this were taught by one of the Hagans or Copeland or somebody, it would be laughable. It makes you wince, doesn't it? I mean, this one, this just hurts. This is why I would submit to you the Mid-Acts dispensational grace movement will never amount to anything when people aren't smart enough to realize that somebody who's capable of teaching this doesn't belong in a pulpit.
He doesn't come into the world saying, I'm the Creator, I'm the Messiah. He comes in having chosen to lay aside that knowledge and that capacity so that he can live in your limitations.
My limitations. Don't put him on the cross.
being made in the likeness of sinful flesh, being engulfed by the limitations of your humanity.
I beg your pardon, engulfed by the limitations. This next paragraph you're about to hear, if your understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ will accept what Pastor Jordan is about to say, then there's no point in you listening much further.
And yet, in total dependence upon what God the Father teaches him, and as the Father teaches him, and as the Father speaks the Word, and as the Word of God begins to instruct him, he comes to understand who he is and believe who he is because he's believing what God the Father told him. You know how he knew who he was as Israel's Messiah? He knew because the Father said, "Thou art my beloved Son." And he's depending by faith on the Word of his Father.
Now, Pastor Jordan is about to ask a most salient question.
Can you grasp some of that in your mind without becoming a heretic?
You hear the nervous laughter. Without becoming a heretic, can you grasp some of this in your mind without becoming a heretic? Absolutely not. This is blasphemy. This is heresy. There's no way to sugarcoat this. This is awful. This is deleterious doctrine that diminishes deity. This is terrible.
Can you relax and just see how that Jesus Christ lived in complete, total dependence on his Father's word to him?
Honey, that's not relaxing. That is in total lack of intellectual integrity. That would be lazy-minded, not relaxing. That would be conjuring up some new Jesus, as Paul warned us about when people would come forth with another Jesus.
Come with me to John 14, one of the passages. John 14, verse number 10. Verse 9, Philip didn't have such a great day this day, and he asked a dumb question. And Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet have you not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." He said, the words that I speak, they're the Father's works. The works that I do, I'm depending on what I know and what I do being what the Father told me to know and told me to do.
Then the three aren't one. In this theology being conjured up by Pastor C. Richard Jordan of the Shorewood Bible Church of the Grace School of the Bible, then the three just simply aren't one. We have a denial of deity, forthright, it's unabashed. I know there are some people, the Bible refers to some that are willingly ignorant. The Bible refers to some silly women and such like, and the Bible refers to those who don't study, obviously, that are all caught up in, I'm for Jordan, and I'm against this guy, and I'm for him, and I'm against that one. It's not about people. When you make it about people, then heresy wins. It's about the doctrine, and you better get that right before you face the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ, having supported a ministry that has attacked the deity of the Savior.
And Jesus Christ lived his life in an absolute, complete dependence, trust, faith in the will of his Father. When Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." The faith of the Son of God is what we're talking about here. Jesus Christ was faithful to simply trust what his Father told him.
If Christ has to have faith outside of himself, then he clearly isn't the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Pastor Jordan and his followers are now teaching that the expression faith of Christ, several times when it appears in your Bible, means Christ having faith in some entity, God the Father, God the Spirit, outside God the Word, outside himself. He then would cease to be the Word, wouldn't he? he would then cease to be John chapter 1, verse 14, would he not? So you see where you are here. Understand where you are. You have moved away from Bible-believing Christianity into the hallowed, ivy-covered halls of liberal theology. That's where you are. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is beyond physical limitations. What you've got going on here is an intellectual pursuit. Where does this go? If you follow this to its logical conclusion, where does it go? Three gods? Do you become rather deified yourself? Are we then going to accept the idea that 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 is not about Christ, but rather about you and me? Really? That is something being taught by Pastor Jordan and some of his followers.
Paul said that's the way you and I are to live our Christian life. That's how Christ lives in us. When we live in total dependence on His Word to us, that's why rightly dividing the Word of truth is so critically important. You can't live by faith in the Word of God to someone else. You have to live by faith in God's Word to you as a member of the church, the body of Christ. But once you know what that Word is, then it's just simply living day by day, moment by moment, in absolute, complete dependence on that Word. Because it's when you depend on something, that's when it controls your life. And the control of God, it comes in your life as the love and grace of God in Christ Jesus and in His Word to you begins to control. You begin to you depend upon that to be your life and to be your wisdom. Now, come with me to Romans chapter number 1. Because the question is, when did Jesus know the mystery? He knew it in eternity past. Then he chose not to know it in order to become a man and to become a servant and not know everything the Father knew, but just live in dependence on what the Father had revealed to him. So he had a time of limited understanding and limited knowledge because the Father had only revealed certain things to him, and he walks in dependence on what the Father's revealed.
So Christ chose to no longer be omniscient. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that stunning? Then I'm supposing it was just dumb luck that the Lord Jesus Christ could close the Bible in Luke chapter 4 exactly at the right dispensational setting. Now, before we get to this, the denouement, before we get to this portion of the message where we're finally going to get around to the question, which is the title of the message, when did Christ learn the mystery? Before we've gotten to this point, do you see where we've been? We've got Jesus Christ not knowing, as the Son of Man, about the second coming, which had nothing to do with the mystery. We've got Jesus Christ not knowing he was the Son of God until he gets baptized at age 30. That has nothing to do with the mystery. Do you see how the Lord Jesus Christ has suffered way before we ever get to the title of this message? And Pastor Jordan asked the absolute right question. And unfortunately, all he got from his followers was a little titter, a little nervous laughter, when he asked if you can believe this without being a heretic. The answer is no, honey, you can't.
Then in Romans chapter 1, verse 3, talking about the gospel of God concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness. How? By the resurrection from the dead. There came a point in time where this one who had took upon himself the form of a servant is now declared by God the Father to be the Son. They get two passages. And that took place by the resurrection. Get two passages. Get Galatians 4 in one hand and Hebrews chapter 1. You know, I told you have to think about this. But boy, when you think about it and the awesomeness of it gets a grip on your heart, all of a sudden, your Christian life takes on a whole new perspective.
Ah. Now, how would it be that it takes Pastor Jordan in the year 2001 to give to planet Earth this new perspective on the Christian life? Because you won't find a lot of people putting this out except people that claim to have thought of it on their own, like the fellow down in the Smokies, talk about smoke, and put out the same material, or those that are just followers, no doubt wanting position, no doubt wanting friends and popularity. How is it we're just now getting this new perspective, and what is the new perspective going to be? We're going to find out it's not new at all. We're going to find out it has to do with the elevation of humanity. I'm going to have accorded to me the same ability to live as Christ did. I'm going to be right borderline Mormon doctrine next. Pay attention.
Never again would it be, I'm going to strive in order to attain. It's, I'm just going to live in dependence on who I am. Because the Father told me this. I'll let the life that I now live in the flesh be the life that Jesus Christ lived in and through me. I'll live like he lived.
Wow. If that doesn't rival Pop Hagen or Kenneth Copeland or Benny Hinn be a little God, I know what the verse says, and I know who you are, and I know who I am, and guess what? We're not God manifest in the flesh. And when you rob deity from the Lord Jesus Christ, he isn't God manifest in the flesh anymore either when he lays aside the independent and free exercise of all of his deity attributes. And so you end up with, now we're moving into the new territory, the elevation and deification of humanity.
Now, this thing about being declared a son is called in the Bible adoption. It's a doctrine of adoption. Now, we think of adoption a little differently than it's thought of in the Bible. You know, you take a child and maybe you're not the biological parents, but you adopt them and you're going to treat them like your children. And we'll take infants and small little children that way. In the Bible, it isn't the way it is. Hebrew Galatians 4 explains it. Now, I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Now, Jesus Christ was Lord of all, was he not? But because he took upon himself the form of a servant, he isn't functioning in the adult status yet. So here's the illustration. The heir, as long as he's a child, he's still a minor, differs nothing from a servant, but he's under tutors and governors. He's told what to do, when to do it, not to do. He's instructed. He doesn't know what. He's under the tutors and governors until, and circle that until, the time appointed of the Father. And at that point, when the time appointed of the Father comes, he moves from the status of being a child, the servant status, to the status of being declared a full-grown adult.
Did you ever, in all your born days, ever think that you would hear Galatians chapter 4 applied to the Lord Jesus Christ's earthly ministry? Did you ever? How many sermons have you heard on Galatians chapter 4? Have you studied it? Have you ever in your entire life ever considered that Galatians chapter 4 was about Jesus?
Verse 6, he says, but ye were sons. Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You see that movement from servanthood to sonship?
That is Paul speaking to Israel, people who had been Israel going back under the law, people that did not know their sonship position afforded them by imputation from the resurrected and God manifest in the flesh, Lord Jesus Christ. He, Pastor Jordan, has made the protagonist in Galatians chapter 4, rather than recalcitrant Israel, he's made it the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, that's wresting the scripture to the point of then being able to teach blasphemy.
That movement is called adoption, the placing as sons. Now that took place with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1 describes it. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Well, that's what Galatians 4 is talking about. He's the heir of all things.
No, Galatians chapter 4 is talking about Israel being the heir of all of the things in the prophetic program, and that they, at the time appointed, will still get all of the promises that were given to the nation Israel. So being able to find the word heir and put it from Hebrews 1 to Galatians 4 is not the same thing as taking Christ from Hebrews 1 and putting him in Israel's place in Galatians 4. That's spiritual larceny. That is intellectually vapid.
But notice here, he appointed him heir of all things. That's that thing over in Hebrews chapter 1, the time appointed of the Father. He's the heir, but he's still like a servant until the Father appoints him into the status of being the heir, the one who now knows everything that he needs to know to run the Father's business. That took place at the resurrection. Verse 3, who being in the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when, and this is going to be the time of the appointment, when he by himself had purged our sins, did what? Sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. God raised him from the dead, brought him up and set him at his right hand in heavenly places, and put him in public display and said, here, he's no longer a servant. Now, I want you to see my son.
He was the fully Son of God on every page of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and he's fully God on every page. My, isn't this sad? Again, this was a family conference, boys and girls. Hopefully there were people new to the Grace Network. Well, you'd rather hope they missed this message, wouldn't you?
And he's fully, completely educated in everything I ever wanted him to know.
Clearly, then, up till this point, he wasn't. So it isn't until Christ, well, does he even yet know the revelation of the mystery? That, by the way, was the title of this message. We still haven't answered it, have we? When did Christ learn the mystery? God's now got Christ up there, seated at the right hand.
And he can do everything I plan to do because I have completely taught him. That's why Hebrews 5 says that Jesus learned obedience.
Jesus learned humanity's obedience. He did not cease to exist as the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
You see, as a servant, he learned some things. Then there came a time when the Father declared, you're my son. Now you're fully educated. Now you've got it all.
Wow. You're my son. Now you're fully educated. If that isn't the Arian heresy of a lesser God of the New American Standard, John chapter 1, verse 18 of the Jehovah Witness Kingdom Hall, then words don't mean things, but words do mean things, and what you've heard are words that never should have been taught, never should have been preached at a family conference, really.
But you know why he had it all? Why he was fully educated? Not because he's depending on what he knew himself as God, but because he's still depending on what the Father gave him. I want you to see that at the adoption, when Christ is declared to be the Son, fully educated, it's because now he is fully depending on God the Father has revealed everything to him. God the Father has taken that original information back here and now completely imparted it to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's completely educated by it. He's completely dependent upon it. And now he's declared to be a son.
We're going to have now another example of talking out of two sides of our mouth. We just heard the statement that he's completely educated. Completely educated. Complete, does that still mean complete? Well, not to Pastor Jordan. Because we're about to find out that Pastor Jordan is going to put words in the mouth of Jehovah God, Father God, and Jesus Christ. Here we see him seated at the right hand, and Pastor Jordan declares him to be completely educated, but he's not. He still doesn't know the mystery. Follow this now. Pay attention. Because many of you have been supporting Pastor Jordan. I support him too. I love him. I gave money to him. I gave effort to him. I gave credence to him. I gave every bit of kind of support, preaching and teaching that I could. I'm not mad at him to this very day. I'm disgusted by the doctrine. I'm afraid that people in the grace movement are going to be destroyed by this heresy that Pastor Jordan, of his free will and volition, chose to make this a problem. He chose to teach this. Now, I know he hides it in his website, and I know you'll have a hard time ordering the tape. I understand that. But we're not going to fess up. We're not going to repent. We're not going to say, I was wrong. We're going to have people now choosing up sides, defending Pastor Jordan. Pastor Jordan's not the issue. I think I probably know him as well or better than many, if not all of you. Most of you, certainly. And I love the guy. I appreciate the guy. He and I, the first time I met him, we must have stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning talking back and forth and back and forth. And in all that time, I don't think that he and I had anything about which we disagreed. It wasn't until years later I found out his heresy, his awful teachings on Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But this is so far beyond that problem. This is so far beyond the pale that this is... If the deity of Christ isn't a fellowship issue, then nothing is.
My son. Because he's got all the information now. If I was getting that across to you, you couldn't be looking at me that blank.
Ah, do you see now? Pastor Jordan's audience, they're not liking this. Pastor Jordan just said, if I was getting that across to you, you couldn't be looking at me that blank. The reason they're looking at you blank, brother, just might be that what you've taught them is something so far beyond the pale they can hardly believe they're hearing it.
That's wonderful. What a joy that is. And the key that I'm trying to get across to you is that Christ has that status today, not because he is even now. He gave up ever having that status on his own. He had a right to it, but for you, he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant, and therefore God the Father has exalted him and given him the sonship status. Because, that's why Philippians 2 goes on and says, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. He's made him the supreme hero of the universe, the Son. In whom all things... are headed up. Why? Because he has depended upon the education the Father gave him.
Now the next statement is again stunning, and I need you to be heads up so that you hear it. We have heard Pastor Jordan already say that when Jesus Christ is seated, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and he took us to verse 3, and he read to us that passage, that Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Pastor Jordan has already explained to his audience that's standing there like deer looking in headlights, and he has already said that Jesus, God the Father, has completely imparted it to the Lord Jesus Christ, that Christ is at this point, he used the term, Pastor Jordan used the term, fully educated. Now pay attention.
He's living in total dependence even today, even now, in what God the Father communicated to him.
So Jesus Christ is not even today, even now, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that Jesus Christ is living in total dependence. That would make him a lesser God, would it not? Even today, even now, in what the God the Father communicated to him.